All right, let's open our Bibles here to Psalms 71, verse number 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Lord, this is very heavy on my heart when I think about it, and the longer I've thought about it, the more weight that I feel, and a burden for this generation more than ever. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would use this to help folks understand, help others that even listen outside of this church, Lord, to understand what challenges this generation faces today and how to fight those. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, there's a lot of scripture I'm going to give you here, and just some, a lot of this is going to be some thoughts as well, and just kind of explaining to you some things that I've seen over the course of the last few years. And I guess I've started to look at things a bit different when I examine this present generation, and I see the challenges that they face, and I see what they've come through, and the things that have happened to them to shape them in this generation to be the way that they are. I'm telling you, there is a vast difference in me at 39 years old and what I've been through, and I've been through a lot of things as far as before I was saved, sin, and everything else. As to this generation, what I'm watching and what they've been through, this internet age, this internet generation. And I'm seeing it in their lives as I talk to them about their struggles and just what they've been into and what they've faced. And it's like I think of Nate at 30 years old, and it's kind of like in between those two generations at 30 years old of before and the struggles and the trials that even he had from where he was at. And the things that his generation faced, which was even worse than mine in a lot of ways, just the challenges. And then you go back into the 20s, and I'm looking at some of these young people today and understanding where they're coming from. And I'm telling you, I don't think that most pastors and most people and most brethren have an understanding of where these kids have come through, what they have been through. Just the difference in the generations and the challenges of that generation. I'm shocked at some of the differences. I'm shocked at what they've been through and what they have not had that they should have had. And just this onslaught of sin that they are tempted with, that they were raised with, or that they grew up with and weren't raised at all. But just allowed to grow up with no direction. And I guess I want to give you some thoughts about this generation and just what I've seen and the challenges that are there. And maybe some of you that are older may understand that this group of people, they don't have the same things that you had. They weren't raised with the same things that you were raised with. It's a totally different dynamic than when I was growing up at their age, at 25 years old, when I was their age. Totally different world that we live in now. I mean, obviously we understand sin is the same everywhere, but the challenges and the availability of sin and all of those things are much worse than we faced. Much worse than the generation before us. And I dare say our children and their generation are going to face it even worse than these 20-year-olds. We are seeing it. I can think of nothing more important than showing this generation the power of God. They so desperately need to see the power of God in the lives of God's people. They just need to see some real people. This generation is very different than even mine. This is the internet generation. They're different. They have different challenges. We had different challenges than they did, of course. But when I say that, I am in no way saying that there's an excuse for their sin. I'm not saying that at all. There's never an excuse to sin, especially for the child of God. However, the challenges to pastor men from this generation, they are real, and they're not going away. They're not. You can't stick your head in the sand and act like it's business as usual. Some men are trying to fight the things from long ago that are these young kids are so far past that now. They are so far past those kind of fights, and they don't even know what you're talking about, half of them. They don't even have a clue what you're saying, for the most part. I have noticed that most pastors are completely out of touch today in fundamental churches. They are out of touch with what the battle is today. I'm just watching it, and how do I know that? Because I have all these people contacting me. Young men, you are here because you contacted us through there and said, wait, I mean, yeah, you get it. I'm not better than anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that there's so many that are out of touch. They don't understand the battles of the youth that they're going through. That they don't even have a clue. These pastors are living in la la land, thinking that these kids are pure, that these kids are just going through life and they're fine and they're growing up in their fundamental churches and everything. No, they're not. They're not. They're not. There is an onslaught. The devil is attacking that generation. He is completely consuming most of them and destroying them. And you're still, and they're still trying to fight the battles of the 1970s. I mean, you've got most pastors that aren't, listen, there's no reason why, and this isn't really part of this, but there's no reason why pastors should not be engaged on that internet and absolutely engaged online and publicly having a ministry at that and dealing with that, because that's where people are. They are there. That's where they are. And they need to be dealt with right where they're at. Just like we go right to the streets, you go right to that information superhighway and you stick on there and you get everything you can on there. That's why people, why do you put everything on there? Because it's effective, that's why. I've been amazed at just the things that I've seen by just putting some things on, just 5-minute little things every day, and the comments and the people that have made comment about that and how it has impacted them and how it has helped them in doing good, just a 5-minute thing that it would encourage them during the day. And they know somebody cares about the battle I'm in. Somebody understands the war that I'm facing. They get it. You have to understand the era that you're in. I believe God raises up certain men for the generation that they are in. And I believe he equips them and prepares them and trains them. And when he is finished with them and they have finished their course and kept the faith, he takes them home. Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What did he mean by that? He had finished his course. He was done, and he knew it. He knew that God was raising up young Timothy through his ministry, the same commit thou to faithful men who were able to teach others also, and he was raising young Timothy up. But he told Timothy of the battles that he would face. He told him, and he warned him, and he prepared him. I'm amazed at how many churches today, and I'm watching these pastors, and they're pastoring churches, and they have no one to replace them. They have absolutely no one to replace them. If something happens, the whole thing falls apart. And I had some guy try to come up and tell me, what are you going to do? I mean, the church is done if you're done. No, it's not. What are you talking about? It's almost done when I'm done. I'm not the church. What are you talking about? You kidding me? Give me a break. There are some elder men here that can come in and assume responsibility and guide the church. You got Brother Lee here, you got Brother Finney here, you've got other men here that are older and wiser, and they are ready. They could step in when needed. Along with searching for a pastor and assuming responsibilities and everything else. Why? Because there should be. And there are young men that are waiting in the wings to be trained and to be worked with, and they're growing. I don't need a Bible college to do that. Listen, God Almighty did that here without some stupid Bible college. Right. Do you know how many churches that are 5 times the size of this church, 10 times the size of this church, would die to have 10 men out on the street yesterday? Or even door knock it or whatever they like to do. But they would die to have 10 young men that were ready to do that. That's the grace of God. But do you know why? You know why God does it, though? He does it because there are men and there are people that are ready to fight the battles of this generation. They're ready to fight them. There's another young man. You pray for this young man. He lives out in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's praying about the Lord's will to move his family here. He is called to preach, he believes. You pray for Brother Jim down in Texas, who we're working with, who's a member of our church, and we're working together with. Amen? Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul knew his fight was over, and that he spent his remaining days writing and training young Timothy and Titus for the war that they would face. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul warned them. He said, hey, in your generation, there's going to be some grievous wolves that enter in, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves, he said to them, those bishops, he said, of your own selves shall arise men speaking perverse things to draw men away after them. Now we come to this generation and the unique challenges that we face in pastoring in this internet age. And we have to understand that God's word has all the answers. While each generation has different challenges, the same Holy Ghost and the same Bible has all the answers. You know, you think about one of these challenges. Just think about this in your mind for a second. I mean, we have a generation right now that has multiple Bibles, hundreds of Bibles. But think about the former generation, the generation that had one English Bible. They didn't have to compete with hundreds of translations. Right? Think about that for a minute. Think about the difference in time that there was one, like J.C. Philpott said, there was one book that settled it all. What do we have now? Hundreds of different ones. I've had people try to rebuke me for certain sermons on YouTube. They go on YouTube, and you know what? They're not even. They say, well, my Bible doesn't say, well, yeah. I mean, they give me a verse of like, well, that's not what the King James Bible says. And that's why we can't agree. A generation that did not have, think about this, a generation that didn't have CCM or rock music in the churches that was popular. Just think about that. Now, all of them had their challenges, no doubt, and God's words never change. But pastoring people from the internet age is challenging. It's different. And I'm going to give you some of the differences so you understand some of the challenges that are there. Number one, the internet age has information at their fingertips. Turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4. They have information, right, all the information they need right at their fingertips, and a lot of information they don't need. Most they don't need, right? Exactly. But you know what? They have no filter on their mind to filter the information most of the time that they receive. And we'll get to that. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We have that knowledge increased right now. I mean, we have today more than ever, young Christians today and those that were raised as internet kids have access to millions of facts and studies right at their fingertips. The Bible says knowledge shall be increased. Many shall run to and fro, and I'm telling you, they are running to and fro all over the place. Yeah, all over the place, everywhere. Now, sometimes that information can be a great thing, and other times it can be very detrimental to the growth of a young Christian. It can be poison or it can be medicine. I've seen where young men are studying all kinds of things but have not even gotten a little bit of understanding of the first principles. They don't even understand the first principles. They don't even know there are first principles. They don't understand the doctrines of the faith. They don't understand any of those things. They don't have a clue about real Bible doctrine. Why? Because they learned about the flat earth and watched 2,000 hours of flat earth and 9/11 was an inside job videos instead of knowing the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I'm not against if you want to watch 9/11 videos of Building 7 that decided to go down on its own in a controlled demolition, like Rampage. Some of you don't know what that is, but right? You know what that is, don't you? Yep. All right. You know what that is. But that's how it went down, and no building goes down like that unless it's pulled. Anyway, but yeah, that's another story for another day. I'm not against that. Hey, I've watched those, but they don't know Christ. They don't know his word, his church, or how to read. You got guys that are spending their days online, and all they talk about is flat earth. They don't even know their Bibles. They don't know how to contend for the faith. They don't know doctrine. They don't know. All they're doing is arguing flat earth. Listen, God didn't tell me to spend my time in my life upon the shape of the earth. He didn't tell me to spend my life and my time watching videos and studying the shape of the earth. But you got people that are so distracted and consumed by that. Oh, that's Bible doctrine. Really? I mean, you got to dig awful hard to find that as this straight Bible doctrine that I'm supposed to study all the time, the shape of the earth. But that's where you have it. They're more interested in things like that than they are the meat of the word, the milk of the word, and growing thereby. Right. Why? Because they're distracted. And they don't have a filter on what they're learning. They're just, if it's any kind of truth or they think it's truth, they're just grabbing onto it. They have no doctrinal basis at all. And a lot of them don't want it either. They don't know Christ, his word, or his church, or how to read through the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. But someone taught them flat earth and that they could lose their salvation by taking obscure or harder verses to interpret and zoned in on those and have confused the believers in Christ. I mean, I tell you, I've seen it this generation more than ever. They're all over the place. I mean, this one kid, one time he was studying, or he's listening to our sermons, and boom, he's over at Kerrigan Scully's. He was a Calvinist. He was in Martin Richling's cult, and he was all over the place. And now he's a Pelagian all the way over in Kerrigan Scully's garbage and losing his salvation and working for it and all kinds of stuff. What's that? And a pacifist, yeah. Wow. They know more about the bloodline Illuminati exposed and don't have a clue about the first principles in eternal damnation. Why? Because knowledge is increased and people are carried away in this generation with every wind of doctrine. They are all over the board and not able to focus. They have all these facts about NASA, but not about the incarnation. Most could not defend their faith. However, those that can defend what they believe feel as if they are so far ahead because their mind is so full of facts and textbook learning on the Word of God. They believe they're farther than a pastor in a local church. Man, they know more than the pastor does. You know, they're way far ahead. Why? Because they have all these facts. So they don't need that pastor in that church. He doesn't know about any of that stuff. So they don't need any of the things that the church has there. They can learn everything they want online. That's the generation that we're in right now. Yeah, that Bible doctrine's boring. This wasn't a problem as much before the internet age. Wasn't as accessible. Wasn't as easy to pull off. Now men study everything online, but if their pastor disagrees with them or may be wrong on something, they're above him and he doesn't know anything, so they take that knowledge and beat him over the head with it, deeming no man as wise and good as them, so they'll just go home and not be submitted to any local church. Because they got it all figured out. Or they'll just start a church themselves. Craigslist church.
That's right. Hey, they're there.
Well, they did when Nate tried it, but... 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. I've noticed most of these young men are very puffed up. Most are from 20 to 40 years old in that era. Their pastor doesn't know something well, then that church is just trash. The pastor doesn't know anything well, just trash it. The knowledge that puffs, their knowledge puffs them up, and then they will not submit to a pastor or a church that is not perfect as they are. And some are ever learning. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They learn from this pastor or that internet teacher and that one and never follow any solid church, but follow around many pastors. This is that generation. I'm telling you, they are everywhere. So many topics flooding their mind and their heart. And it's not like it was when I was a child, when you'd have all that access to everything. And now this generation has all that access to everything. So when you talk to them, they don't need the church because they got Bible stuff online. And we're all the church. No, we're not all the church. There's no such thing as a universal invisible church. There are local churches. Right. TV raised my generation. Right. Internet raised this generation. Right. And boy, did it double down on evil. YouTube. Yeah, YouTube, that's right. Triple down on evil. Listen, if you give your child unsupervised internet access, you are a fool. Be as clear as I can be. You are a fool. Yeah, or a smartphone. That's right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We had a couple hundred channels on television, on cable television at the most, or a satellite or whatever. These kids have millions of channels on YouTube. They can learn about every wicked thing you can imagine, and they do. They can watch every wicked thing you can imagine, and they do. That's the generation that I'm pastoring now. That's the generation that we are pastoring, we are seeing in our churches now. I mean, you just take some of your testimonies of when you were saved. And I know when Lee was sitting in that office and he was listening to some of those testimonies, he was dumbfounded by some of them because he had never heard anything like that. Right? It is totally different because you'd never heard it. But then when I sit there and you guys get a hold of me, some of you guys got a hold of me, and I was one of the first guys that didn't be like, wasn't like, hey, you guys are nuts, you're lying. No, I didn't. I believed you. Because I actually saw the wickedness in the Word of God, and God said that was going to manifest out in that world. And when somebody told me they were devil-possessed, or they had this, or they did that, or they involved the occult, or they involved with that, I knew. Because I knew what they were involved with. Some of you never heard those stories before, never experienced it, never seen any of that before. And that's why a lot of these children, or these 20-year-olds, they stay away from churches. I'm telling you, they stay out of them. Because they go in and they are not welcome there. And they know they're not welcome there. They know if they walk into that church with that testimony, they're all going to look at them funny and they're not going to believe them. They're going to think they're crazy, or they're not going to want anything to do with them. Yep. Right, Brother Nathan? That was Brother Nathan's testimony. Yep. Said never wasn't comfortable anywhere, because not because of the preaching or anything like that, but because people, they didn't want anything to do with you. They knew you had been through sin. They knew you had been through things. They didn't want anything to do with you. And they wouldn't believe you if you told them what happened. That's how it is. Yes, believe me, I came from fundamental Baptist churches. I know how they are. I know how they treat people. The kids that are hiding their sin, they grew up in the churches, oh, they're all loved. But the ones that come in that repented of their sin and they have a changed life and they're different, they're not going to be accepted. Right. Plus, those kids have a zeal for God, too. Those ones that come out of the sin and get right with God. The other ones, a lot of times, they don't have a zeal for God. They're hiding their sin. They're living in sin. Right. Exactly. That's right. Believe me, I'm not begrudging the internet age or despising the amount of information, but it is different now. It's not the same generation. This is the post-9/11 generation, and it is a different world altogether. It's a challenge. No, it wasn't. We're going to talk about that. That's one of my points. Yeah, way different. That's right. Now we have young people who have information at their grasp, but they have no patience with their information that they receive and are ready to jump ship at any moment's notice and use every and any excuse to do it. Because they have no basis. They have no direction. They have no guidance. Because they know something their pastor doesn't know, or they may disagree with him on something. If they do, then they'll just retreat to virtual church where preaching can feed them. By the way, there are biblical reasons to leave a church, and I'm going to preach on that soon because I think it's important for people to understand. It's important for you to understand. Yeah. But the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, and many in this internet age know more about the Illuminati. And you got these people that, oh, my pastor did this weird sign with his fingers, so I think he's Illuminati. I hope you have a little bit more information than a pastor going like this or something, or, oh, great, I just did it. What? You knew it. I hope you have a little bit more information, like the fact that he teaches, you know, and not like that weird dude that's on the weird guy that's making videos about me. Like, his whole channel is basically dedicated with his extreme, crazy, psychotic, I don't know what you call it. He's completely like, what? Yeah, he's like a stalker. He's like doing weird videos about me, and like, it's just really creepy. Anyway, but from my home state of Illinois, what's up with that? But anyway, not every guy's a Jesuit or a Mason because, you know, he might have done a hand sign or something that he just used his hands or something in a certain way. Oh, that guy's a Jesuit right there. That guy's a Mason. But that's where they are. They know more about things like that, which is fine. I'm not begrudging the fact that people know those things. But you better know the milk of the word. Knowledge has increased about many topics, and the accessibility is evident and great in many ways, but it also produces an expert on every YouTube channel. Everybody's an expert, every YouTube video. This guy has this video on flat earth, and that's on the internet, so you can't trust that. He's talking about NASA, and you can't trust NASA, which I don't trust the government anyway. But you're supposed to trust him, and he's got an internet video. He's got a video on the internet. So either way, you have to weigh evidence, right? I mean, just whatever. But they're novices that have never been trained, but because they can spit facts at, they're qualified. Because they know 9/11 was an inside job, and they know Masons and Jesuits and the Illuminati are out there and in control. And they are. And they're against 501c3, then information abounds. But the danger is that some will use this info to escape any accountability and use it for an excuse to forsake the assembly. And they're living virtually online. This is a generation. I'm telling you, this is where they grew up. They grew up online. I'm going to get to that, but that's how they grew up. It's not like it was when you and I were kids. I mean, when I was a kid, the television was in the living room, right? It was right there, and then you walked away from it, and you went out in the real world, and you lived. Well, now I carry it all with me everywhere I go. Now it's with me everywhere. Now it has accessibility everywhere. Now it never leaves me. Now people walk around looking for Pokemon on this thing, and they walk into their park, and they're living a virtual video game. And they get hit by cars. And probably hit by full-grown men that don't like you hanging out in their yard. Oh, that Pikachu escaped. I mean, it's just weird. But it goes with you now. And the next thing they want is it to be in you. That's the next step. It's going to be in you. Not me, but I mean, but that's the goal, to not have it outside of you, but to have it in you. I really need to talk about that sometime, and I keep hinting at it, and I'm going to, so I'm going to get off about, I've talked about it before in the past, but really understanding that the goal is to keep you online, not to keep you so you are online. You personally are online. Do you understand that? That you will be connected to the beast. You, not your device connected to the beast, but you connected to the beast. You merging with the beast. That's the goal. That's the goal. And it won't be hard, because when this generation coming up, as they have iPhones when they're like 5 years old, and they own them, and they're theirs, and they buy their children iPhones and the iWatches and everything else, and their children are growing, that's how they grow up. So when they just tell them, hey, if you implant this, they'll watch what you can do. There are many people that will not go to a 501c3 church, will not go to all these, and I agree with that. Okay, I understand that. I understand your conviction and your biblical stand on that. What I don't understand is you not obeying God and finding a church you can go to then. Amen. If it's at all possible for you to do it. Some people are, shut in and they can't. Some people have different circumstances, and you have to be patient, you have to pray. Not everybody was able to, go somewhere right away. But at the same time, it ought to be part of what you're doing, what you're looking for, if it's possible. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You see, once you find out the truth, and you see the truth in different things in the Word of God, it's hard. You can't betray that truth and look back and be like, well, I can just do it. It's like Brother Finney telling him, well, Brother Finney, I guess you just got to settle. You're going to have to go to a 501c3 church. He can't turn his back on that. He already knows it. He can't just forget about it and be like, I'll just go to one anyway. It doesn't work. Once you know that, you can't do that. And it does bring sorrow, because you know what? There are sometimes things in your life that you cannot do because you know the truth of things now, and it challenges you. Not that God's commands are grievous. It's just that it brings sorrow, because now I know these things, and I can't just forget about them like I don't know them. Yeah, and I have an obligation to obey. But you know what? Things were much different when we didn't hyperanalyze and know what each other had for breakfast every morning. And what book we read the night before when someone was arguing with their wife, and what kind of shoes they bought and everything else. Now there's no privacy in life. Everything is put on there. It's one of the reasons why I took my family completely off online. Just took everything off. Just me. I'm just me on there now. And I did that because I don't want them living online with things. I don't want their life to be online with all that stuff. I just don't want it to be that way. So I took them off. Much familiarity can bring much contempt. Sometimes we see today that, you wouldn't have the disagreements that you had, and there were brethren that fellowshiped all over the world, and if they met and everything, but they didn't analyze every single thing that they believed and knew every single thing that they believed, or that they, the quirky little things that they do and everything like that. And then you couldn't have it. Now you can't have any friends at all, almost, because unless it's like this perfect agreement here, it doesn't end up working a lot of times now. That's how we've hyper-analyzed every single thing. And that's the age of the internet, and that's where these kids have grown up, and that's what you're facing. That's why when you see these things, like, everything is a big deal. Everything is of equal importance to them. Well, I can't go to your church if you believe in flat earth. Well, Garrett believes in fat earth. Nate believes in skinny earth. I don't know what Adam believes about the earth. I haven't asked you yet. And I'm afraid to ask Aaron anything. But the point is that, you know what, there's people that, oh, well, if you don't believe this doctrine or this or that, then now I can understand if it's the first principles and that those are the important, but if, you know, you got people that there's somebody saying right now that, well, I couldn't go to your, because your post-trib, I couldn't go there. Somebody online was emailing me about that, said, well, I can't go to your church because, or my wife won't come to your church because, because you're post-trib. Okay, but the problem isn't post-trib, just so you know. That's not the problem. That's the furthest thing from the problem. It's not the problem. Exactly. It's exactly what it is. Because you know what? There's people that have been in this church that were pre-trib. You know what? We didn't fight about it. We didn't sit and argue about it. Didn't sit and hate each other over it. We didn't hate them. Yeah, we didn't hate them. And I used to be pre-trib. Listen, I want you to understand something. There is no doctor that I wish I was wrong about more. Do you understand that? I mean, do you get that? I mean, it's not like it's like extreme joy comes over my mind when I think about murder, death, and torture. But truth is truth. You know? Anyway. But the world, this is the world of no privacy where knowledge increases and has led to much sorrow. Next, the communication is very limited in this internet age. He said, what do you mean by that? Well, there's a lot of communication online, but there's not actually really profitable communication that takes place. Like before, men used to be able to sit down and talk about their differences. Now something is attempted over a text, over a post online, or over an email, which you cannot tell what somebody is actually saying. So then most people misunderstand each other a lot of the times, and if we were all sitting in a room together, we could probably come to some agreement and be able to work things out, right? It's one of the reasons why countries don't just send emails, they send ambassadors, right? Because, I mean, emails can be taken like, especially if you're like me and your punctuation is off a little bit, they can be taken really bad. If I just leave the caps lock button on, why are you yelling at me? Are you really yelling at me? Yes, I am. Hillary's ambassadors don't turn out well. No. But knowledge is increased, but brotherly love and communication is not increased. I mean that by that proper communication. Welcome to the generation that is more comfortable with texting you than talking to you in person. We have lost our ability to be able to stand and look a man in his eye and have a conversation with him. Most of the internet warriors can't look you in your eye. They cannot have a conversation looking you. And I'm telling you something, if you spend too much time in front of that computer and not enough in front of people, you will not be able to look people in their eye and have a conversation with them. But that's the generation. That's what these young people, they'll send you. Right. That's why they don't, yeah, on the street, that's right. They don't go street preacher. Why? Because they don't want to look at somebody face to face. We've lost the ability to do that in this generation. They haven't known to do that. All their communication has been online or through texting. They'll leave your church with a text. I'm not coming back. See you later. It's like breaking up over text. Smiley face. It's not working out. We're two different people. Well, that doesn't work with the church. I have had it happen just recently, 4 or 5 months ago. Just leave by text. You see, now we have people who communicate more frequently, but not as completely and productively as we did before. The internet generation attempts to communicate online, and when they have a disagreement, it ends up getting ugly very quickly, and there is no grace. One of the things that cannot be passed on to you in this generation through the internet, through any even internet teaching or whatever, is understanding that fruit of the Spirit are the grace and mercy that is needed and how to deal with people personally and straightforward. You learn that in a church. You learn that by dealing with your brethren. You learn that by having problems come up and dealing with them and working them out and talking them through. Amen. Because things can quickly escalate over an email or over a text. And the best thing to do sometimes is to stop and go see the person or go talk to the person. It's the best thing to do to get it out. So they can look at you face to face, eye to eye, and you can have a conversation. One of the things we have failed at in this area is on the internet is this one-dimensional communication. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul said in verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity is long-suffering. I'm afraid that there are Christians that can make a video about some ministry, and they know about the occult and other things about that. They know about apostates and all that kind of stuff, but they have no long-suffering or patience with people that they deal with. I understand heretics and what you're supposed to do, but there's no balance with many today in this generation. A man that may be a little more worldly in his life but is not a dangerous heretic is blasted on a video and treated like a heretic to be marked and avoided. It's like this full-scale assault war that takes place. And this is how this generation communicates. I'm telling you, it's how they communicate with each other and how they treat each other. Then you have people nitpicking to death everything because they have access to all the information but no temperance on how to deal with real-life situations. You know why a lot of these people they pastor online? Well, because they wouldn't have patience to deal with anybody in person. They wouldn't be able to deal with challenges that come up. They wouldn't be able to they don't have to. When they do everything online, they don't have to deal with people in person. Or watch two people that need to deal with each other. So you have to teach. We have to teach those that come here that are used to just blasting people with information on a computer screen of how to deal with people in real life that you talk to every day of your life. Let me tell you something. There are some things that when persecution comes, you and I will not be nitpicky over. Right? There are a few things that you and I, when persecution comes, will not blast each other over. There are other brethren online that we would drop some things when persecution came. Right? But in this internet age, It's not real life communicating and dealing with people. For many people, the sum total of how they know how to communicate is just through online. Some men believe they're ready to pastor or start a church or serve the Lord because they're saved and have a burden. Wonderful. And they have a lot of knowledge, but all that knowledge does not always translate into wisdom and how to communicate that message to others. That doesn't translate into the qualifications of a bishop and not being a novice. A novice with a lot of knowledge and a platform to share it with no restraint is a dangerous thing. Very dangerous. I'm going to preach a sermon to you sometime soon called Trained and Ordained. But they've lived life virtually. That's how most of this generation has lived their life, is virtually. Most of their lives have been lived out, not in the real world, but online. It's easy to say the things people say online, but to say them to people's faces, it's not that easy. I could name you four or five guys that have blasted this church, blasted the men of this church, and basically said they're just a bunch of dummies. And you know, because they've told you online. But the invitation was open for them to come here and to have a conversation. Yeah. And sit down and reason with each other. That's not a fight. Nobody's trying to fight anybody. We're not talking about physical. We just want you to sit down and reason together. Sit down with the Word of God and reason. Do that. What's wrong with that? That's right, because you can say a lot of things when you're not in front of somebody. Look, I've fought a lot. I did a lot of things before I was saved, all right? I wouldn't say I fought a lot compared to a lot of other people, so that's probably not accurate, but I was a troublemaker before I was saved. Put it that way. But do you know, I really would never walk up to men and say some of the things that I've seen men say, even as a lost man, to a man's face. I am just shocked at some of the things that people say. That I can't even imagine that. And I don't think if they were staring somebody eyeball to eyeball, they would say that. But you see, this is the generation that they live in, though. This is how they were raised. Just, you can type anything and it really does. There's just a virtual person on the other side. No, it's somebody's life. There's somebody real there. There's flesh and blood there. There's somebody there. They're the mother of somebody, or the father of somebody. They're the child of somebody. There's somebody, there's a soul there of somebody that needs to either be saved or get right with God. And what you say to them does matter. They're so used to doing things online, though. This is that generation of like the internet marriage where people meet online and get married. Where they have no problem meeting once or twice and just talking online or whatever. Happens a lot now. This is a generation that has viewed pornography and had it at their fingertips. I don't think that you can grasp and understand the level of wickedness that these young people have seen and been involved with. The wicked scenarios of things that they have watched and polluted their minds with. I don't think that you can understand that level, because I don't understand it sometimes, okay? And I was into pornography before I was saved. But again, you had to view that either on a television screen through a movie, a video, or you had to view that, you had to go to a strip club or someplace like that, you could not view that walking down the street or at work or amongst any time, any hour of the day or night, 24/7, thousands and millions of channels of access to whatever you want. You couldn't do that. Especially, yeah, if you were under 18, you couldn't do that back then when I was a kid. Wasn't that easy? I was stuck. I viewed magazines and things like that that weren't animated, that weren't moving, that didn't have the flicker rates and everything else that was going, that was attached to that. All the things, the rapid moving and everything else that goes along with it, and all of the wicked depravity that you can imagine. I'm telling you, it is 10 times worse now than it was then. And more addictive. This is the generation of sexting, they called it. These young kids have showed their bodies to people online, to friends and to others who took their info and spread it everywhere. These are young babies, some of these. I call them babies. They're 12, 13 years old or whatever. Babies. Exploited. They've had no privacy. They have literally lived life online. And they have been completely, completely exploited. Many of them. I'm telling you, it's not the generation of the Playboy era and other things. This is way more wicked and way more animated and way more seducing. Way worse. And way more accessible. And this pornography that they're viewing and the things that they have viewed, this on-demand pornography and everything, it has literally rewired their brains. Now, if you don't understand that, go listen to the sermon I preach, Pornography Rewiring Your Brain. It has literally changed everything about their minds. And only through the Holy Ghost can you reverse those things. And by walking in the Spirit. Because literally, everything has changed in their minds. Rewired. Changes it all. Go look it up if you don't believe me. Go listen to the sermon. You know, my generation as others before me, we had some shame still. Like, you had to go do that stuff in the dark. You had to go to places and get caught doing those things and look like a pervert. Now you can be a pervert in privacy and nobody's going to know you're a pervert, except God knows. And you're not hiding it from God or anybody else, really, because God will reveal it. They've been bombarded with wickedness. The bulk of this generation has no shame. So when you preach to them on the evil of pornography, listen, you wonder, why does Pastor Cooley preach so direct and so hard on these things? Because I get all their stories. Do you get it? I get their emails. I get their stories. I get what they're going through. And I get, by the grace of God, to try to help them clean up the mess they're in. Bible says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. They don't blush. They're not ashamed. Many of them. Then they get saved, and life is different to them, completely different. But this is their generation. Promiscuity. Purity is mocked and not even taught through any of the schools or anything anymore. Obama made sure that he stopped any abstinence teaching when he became president. Because that doesn't work, they say. Really? Because I always figured if you were abstinent, you couldn't get pregnant. The Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. And so that if you didn't touch her, then nothing would happen. Seems like it works. I don't see, it seems like, yeah, it does. It actually works. Right? Mm-hmm. This is a generation which grew up with homosexuality being mainstream. Mainstream. Popularized. Mainstream. Do you understand that when you say things to this generation, you're not shocking them? Do you understand this preaching does not shock them? Some of you that are older that live a God-fearing life, praise God. Amen. But I'm telling you where you think you're shocked. No, they're not shocked. When we go out in the streets and we preach directly, they're not shocked. Not at all. You won't surprise them by preaching hard. And those that get saved, the older members might be appalled at things, but these younger ones, they're like, amen, somebody's preaching on it because my generation's been filled with it. Right. Some of these kids say, I've been watching pornography since I was 10 years old. Right. They're the generation of kids having tattoos. Doesn't matter. Piercings everywhere on their bodies, doesn't matter. Girls everywhere on their bodies, losing their purity. Their friends in school are all bisexual or homosexuals. They're not shocked by that. And they know. And they know when they hear this preaching, they know exactly, they know. If you talk to them about things, you have to be direct and you can't pull any punches because they've lived their lives virtually and sold their purity out and rotted their minds with wicked music that goes way beyond rock music, way beyond dubstep and other things like that that these kids are into now, go way beyond rock music, way beyond that into an addictive music that absolutely addicts their mind. And you can't imagine that, but I'm telling you, go listen to the radio show we did on it. It is a drug. Music is a drug that addicts their mind. And it makes them susceptible to other drugs. When you couple that with pot and with acid and with all those other drugs that are out there, heroin and everything else, ecstasy, they're going to OD. And they do. These kids are getting high and drunk in grade school. Do you understand that? They have access to drugs in grade school. They are losing their purity in grade school. Do you understand that? Say, not my kids. I know, amen. Praise God, I know. But this is the people that you're going to see, that God's going to save these people, and they're going to come in this church. And you just remember, your brother that's sitting next to you, he didn't live the life you lived. So when you think you don't need preaching on these things, you better remember, they do. You're not going to surprise them on the level of wickedness out there because they've experienced it. They've lived it. These are kids that grew up with aggressive war games and witchcraft. They played it. They watched it. They played all the games. They played all the witchcraft games. They played all the demented war games with blood and everything else. The problem is sometimes you think only about yourself and not about your brother next to you and the things they've been through. You don't have any clue what your brother in this church is going through, or your sister is going through right now in this. You don't have a clue what they're going through. You don't know what they're battling, what they're facing. You don't have a clue. You just assume. And then you usually assume the worst. Or the best, yeah, exactly, that everything's fine and nobody's having any struggles and everybody's okay. And well, let me tell you, it's not that way. Everybody's not always fine, and people do have struggles, and people are battling things. So when you look at your brother and you want to, you see a flaw, or you see a problem, or you see an issue, you know, and you have some mercy and compassion. You don't know what they're going through. I know they don't have it all figured out like you do, but maybe they will someday. Right. This is the twilight generation where witchcraft and everything was mainstream, right? When they were kids, they watched Harry Potter, Twilight. They grew up on all of it. That's what they grew up watching. That was like their cartoons. The more wicked, the better. The more demented, the better. Listen, when you see a church that is effective for the Lord, what you will see is people that come in that are redeemed and forgiven, but they come from all walks of life and all that. Some of you came from strong fundamental churches and that you lived your life through and lived for the Lord. But many of these people that you're going to see come in, they didn't live like that. They don't have they don't have the heritage that you have. They don't have what you have. They never got that. They want that and they're learning to have that and they're teaching their family to have that, but they didn't come from that. This is a generation where pot was normal and really not drugs at all. The ecstasy generation, the heroin generation, the drug counseling generation, the no discipline generation. No discipline. This is the timeout generation. Right? Exactly. But this is the generation giving you five times to do wrong. And I'll even count them out for you, son or daughter. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can still disobey me. 5, 6. Keep going. You're going to get time out. I think a lot of pastors have a problem understanding the depths of wickedness of this generation and really how to deal with it. This is the visual-driven generation where everything is visual, everything is online, everything is like they've got to see it all. They've got to have that right there. It's the feelings-motivated generation. They're the third generation or so with women out of the home and raised by daycare. Where their feelings are detached from their parents. Their parents are nothing more than the people that brought them into the world. They are not their loving parents because they were farmed out to daycare and somebody else raised them. They were raised by the public school. They were raised by the daycare. They were raised, and they don't have that natural affection and that connection with their parents. This is who you're raising. So then they go out and they get married, and now we have to teach them biblically what their roles and responsibilities are. And it's also a generation where pastors aren't preaching anymore on those things. They don't preach keepers at home, most of them. They don't know that this is a generation that has no clue what the biblical roles are. They have no basis for understanding of what they are. They have no clue what a husband's duty is and what a wife's duty is. No clue at all. None. Just the same. We both do the same thing. No, you don't. They are the generation of effeminate Ahabs and Jezebels, where the men are effeminate and they're not strong and they don't stand. They're the skinny jean generation. Ugh. I know that is nasty. They literally are. Where they don't, they've got those little skinny jeans on and, huh? And they're way too tight. And we're talking about the guys, so you know. They are the generation where all the roles were reversed and no one has a definitive role in the home. They are the Obama generation. They are the LGBT generation, where it's been programmed into them to accept it, and that you hate if you don't. They have been brainwashed into believing that if you have a disagreement with that, then you're wrong, then you hate. Not that you're wrong, that you're a hateful bigot. Bigot. Right? All in the name of love, that's right. Love wins. Love is love. Pizza is pizza. Right? They are the generation. The fatherless generation. Most of them have no father at home. No one to teach them that men work and care for their families and pay the bills. Never had that. Because nobody showed them that. Many of them. Many of them had no local church structure at all, no pattern to follow, so they had no guidelines. Yeah, they have a Bible, but never understood it as a guide to follow. They are unchurched and not trained. It's the generation of the emergent church movement, where looking cool was more important than being right with God and preaching the Word of God. They are the Rick Warren, Mark Driscoll, perverted, put a brewery in your church generation. The sodomite church generation, where churches accept sodomy as normal and church-sanctioned sodomy is alive and well. You know what the answer is? Having said all that, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 5 says this, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. We need some men to be clear and to speak clearly. We need some men from this generation, from our generation, to speak very clearly to them. Great men that will stand up for the faith, that will stand and quit you like men and be strong and stand for the truth and be very direct and bold in what they say. They need some biblical direction and discipline. Straightforward correction and instruction in righteousness. Older men have a responsibility to help these younger men. In the church, you have, as elders, you have a responsibility to help these young men. When you see something, you could go talk to them. If you can be a blessing to them and try to give them some instruction, you do that. You say something to them. Don't suffer sin upon them if you can have a conversation with them. It doesn't always have to. I don't have to do it all the time. You can come alongside of them and be a blessing to them, sit down and talk with them. We have to teach them to be sober and serious about their life and direction with the Word of God. They need to be taught. They need to see the power. You know what they need? They need to see the power of God. They need to see real Bible faith in your life. That's what they do. As you see people come along, they need to see real Bible faith, that you actually believe that book and you live by that book and you won't compromise that book. Some of these young people are street smart and have seen a lot of things, but they need to be taught the Word of God, not carried away with every wind of doctrine everywhere. So I tell these young men when they call me or they talk to me or they email me, I tell them, you need to get into church, you need to get trained, you need to get ordained, you need to get right with God, and you need to get a direction and a focus. Because otherwise you're going to be all over the board in everything. They need the biblical church model for discipline and direction and instruction. They need the Word of God. They must actually follow the Word of God. Many of them will look at modern churches, and because they weren't raised in that structure, they reject much of it because they see most of it has nothing to do with the Bible. A lot of guys, they see it, they look at it, they're like, you know what, this has nothing to do with the Word of God. What are you guys doing here? Like, they see all this stuff, and they question, like, I don't want to go here. I mean, you guys don't even believe the Bible. What are you doing with all this stuff? And they won't go there. We need some men to rise up and to say, you know what, no, we're going to do it the biblical way. We're going to follow. We're not going to do things that aren't in the Word of God. We're just going to follow the Word of God. They need more than ever for us to be real. Hey, we all make mistakes. We all have to repent. We all have to get right with God, but at least we're real about it. We're not hiding it. We're not faking who we are. We don't live in a phony Christian life. But we believe the Bible, and we try to follow it. When we mess up, we repent. When we sin, we repent, and we get right with God. Owning our mistakes and getting right with God. Amen. Owning our sin and getting right with God. They've seen enough of people saying one thing but doing the other. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. They need clear, bold preaching. But you know what? They also don't need just talk. They need clear, bold living. They need to see that your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what they need to see. They need to see real Bible faith. We're seeing this generation coming up, they've got a lot of challenges they're facing. The Word of God, like we said, has the answers, but this is just a little glimpse of what they have been through and what some of them are coming out of. Not to mention the demonic manifestations, the devil possession, and everything else that we don't have time to go into, but could be definitely talked about, that they've experienced, that they've been a part of, and it was very accessible to them as well. Witchcraft taught to them very young. Exposed to devilish behavior, devils and everything else very young. They've seen it. Ouija boards, I was going to talk about that. I thought I had that in there, but I didn't. Ouija boards and everything else they played around with was a part of the cultic thing. Exposed to it at a very young age. It's real. And we got to be real. Amen. It's so needed today. One last thing I guess I could say is pastors need to be willing to say the hard thing. And you, to each other. You know, when we help others out there, we need to be able to say the hard things. Because it isn't easy to look at somebody and deal with things, but you have to be able to say the hard thing. It's not always fun. There's some things that you will preach that will not be fun. But they are very important, and they should be preached. Father, Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you even let us serve you in this generation. Help us, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to this generation, to show them your power, and then you'll take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.